Murray trying to shake Caruso. Here's a three-pointer. Oh, it's good! Jamal Murray! Murray, Caruso on him. Murray, good pass. Millsap got deep. Shot clock at five. Murray looking for someone. Oh, great find! And a two-handed jam by Paul Millsap.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday morning. We have all of your action from another great Lakers and Nuggets game. I am Jared Weiss. I am joined by Dave Dufour, Wazzy Lambre, and Andrew Schlecht hitting on the ones and twos. Don't miss an exclusive in-depth coverage of the Lakers and the Nuggets and everything else going on in the NBA, everything else going on in sports, when you subscribe now and you save by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. You can receive an all-access subscription for only $1 a month because sports are back, and you won't want to miss breaking news stories on your favorite teams, the great in-depth features that we do at The Athletic, and everything in between. So go to theathletic.com/dailyding to receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month. So coming up on today's show, more zone? LeBron, is he tired? Jamal Murray, can he ever not make a crazy play? But first, let's break it down from the top. The Nuggets, they beat the Lakers 114-106. The Lakers made an incredible run to make this a thriller at the end by going to zone and shutting down the Nuggets offense. But then Jamal Murray went absolutely berserk at the very end. But let's start with that first quarter. Denver won it 29-27. Dave, you were not interested in what the Lakers were showing then.
No, I mean, they came out like they were up 3-0, not 2-0. And that's not going to get it done. The Nuggets are a good basketball team. And, you know, we saw the theme of the night was lack of energy, really, from the Lakers outside of that spurt that, you know, got this game kind of close. And, you know, man, it's the Western Conference Finals. The yep. Lakers are better than that.
Yep.
And it was really weird. And, you know, maybe they're just dead. Like, maybe they just kind of hit a little wall, but it's the Western Conference Finals. You can't hit walls, and the Nuggets are too good, so they're going to make you pay for it. And I think the number one thing the Lakers are going to have to adjust in game four is their effort level, especially like right out of the gate. They got destroyed on the glass tonight. I mean, the Nuggets wound up with 9 offensive rebounds, but a 30% offensive rebound rate. There just weren't a lot of them out there, and it was embarrassing, I think, for the Lakers. The effort was just not good.
Yeah, throughout the entire season in the bubble, there's sort of been a distrust of the Lakers' offense all season, and their calling card has been their defense. That's what this team's identity, for all the talking we did about the Los Angeles Clippers and their lack of identity, like, who is this team? What do they sort of hang their hats on a night-to-night basis? They never really established that. The Lakers have established that. Their calling card is their defense. And so to watch them come out essentially from the third quarter of game two up into and through the third quarter of this game and not play defense. They just have not been up to their standard that they've set for themselves this entire season and playoffs on the defensive end. And I think that's been the difference. That also, I think Vogel is sort of coached like a coach who was up 2-0. That second unit with Markieff Morris at the five in the second quarter was atrocious, and it's been atrocious essentially the entire series so far. They cannot get stops when they're going up against the Denver Nuggets. Like, even Mason Plumlee minutes, he's doing the vertical spacing, catching all kinds of alley-oops. When he's not catching alley-oops, he's drawing two of the defenders by the rim and spraying out the shooters. The defense just has not been there. They established a 19-point or whatever point lead that they had, that huge lead that they ran out to in game two, and they relaxed. Basically, they won that game by the skin of their teeth. They're up 2-0, and they came out relaxed defensively. That's not this team's calling card and identity, and I think that was the difference tonight.
You know, Andrew, I want to ask you this. LeBron's energy levels, right? Second half of game two didn't quite look right. I mean, we talked about the struggles that he had in the second half. First three quarters of this game kind of looked slow, like he didn't have much lift. Outside of that spurt where they made that comeback, I mean, LeBron hasn't really looked right in about 6 quarters, I think.
No, I mean, you're totally right. And, I mean, LeBron's been relying on his teammates throughout the playoffs, really. I mean, he's been the big story for the Lakers, no doubt. But he's relying on Anthony Davis more. And I think that's going to be what's going to carry this Lakers team home, is if Anthony Davis can go off. And Anthony Davis had 27 points and two boards tonight. I think you have to have monster AD games for this Lakers team to win. I think that's how this team will win the title, is on the back of Anthony Davis. Obviously, LeBron is going to facilitate and lead everything, but I still think you need to have monster nights from AD to get past this Nuggets team.
And what's insane, Jared, LeBron had 30 points.
A triple-double.
11 assists and 10 rebounds. And he just didn't look right.
I was about to say, this is a great advertisement for the quality of analysis you get at The Athletic, where LeBron has a 30-point triple-double on like 60% shooting, and we're not fooled by the ridiculous numbers. Numbers are meaningless.
I mean, let's be fair.
The six turnovers, yes. Passive yes. defense.
Yes, and we got to be fair. That spurt in the fourth quarter was, you know, keyed by their defense, and a lot of that was runouts, LeBron James getting wide open layups. I think another indication of the type of game he had realistically is the two free throws, right? This is a team that LeBron should be able to feast inside against, and that hasn't been the case. And I think another hint that you know that it's not dire straits season for the Lakers yet in their own eyes is LeBron in the mid post, LeBron in the low post, like initiating offense from there. They haven't gone to that yet. And we know, and I've said that over and over and over on this podcast, that the LeBron James post up is one of the most efficient offensive plays in the game. And they haven't done that yet. I think there's sort of a sort of passivity against this team. Again, 2-0 lead. They haven't felt threatened yet, but I think the Nuggets should have their attention. Another thing I'll mention, Rondo, again, he was spectacular in game one, spectacular in moments against the Rockets. He was atrocious tonight. Not just the offense where, you know, the four turnovers, the missed wide open three-pointers, 0-for-3 on that end, but also the defense, the unnecessary gambling, which, you know, left the Lakers scrambling on the back end, that led to layups and wide open threes and just getting beat by his man one-on-one for most of this game. He was atrocious. Caruso couldn't buy a bucket, 0-for-4 from three as well. Although, again, he provided his customary energy on the defensive end. I think those guys can pick it up to a certain extent, of course. And, you know, Kuzma was decent. He made one of his two threes. I thought he got the lemon booty on that three-point possession where he was wide open and hesitated. And you know what they say about he who hesitates. No, I'm not even going to go into that. But I'm just saying that was it.
Yeah, the record scratch,
he hesitated
man.
On that
good.
Three, missed it, and that was the game basically.
I mean, your job, like if you're Kyle Kuzma, your job is just take that shot, man. Like, and if you can't, you can't be out there. But I'm glad you pointed out that his defense has been pretty good in this series, I think. And he was a contributor tonight for them when nobody else really had it. But something else to note, until they started that little comeback, we didn't see LeBron go bum hunting on Paul Millsap. And then they started to do it. And what do you know? You know, they start turning it around. So, I mean, a game four, I expect them to go mismatch hunting much earlier and probably right out of the gate.
Yeah, Denver has holes on defense. We know that they do. What they are is an incredible offensive team. The continuity alone, just guys knowing exactly where the next guy is going to be. But you know, if the Lakers want to score, if they want to be ruthless, if they want to go full tilt, they can score on this team. I think if I was a Laker fan, I'd be quite concerned that the Lakers can't guard these guys.
Well, and also the Nuggets have only played well when their backs are against the wall and they're down 0-2. They lose a buzzer beater. And like this is like the familiar feeling for the Nuggets, right? Like, okay, this is when we turn it on. This is they know how to play when the pressure is on, and the pressure was on. I mean, if they go down 3-0, I mean, it's over. And so they win, and it seemed like they were going to win in much more convincing fashion. But I mean, it still ended up being, it wasn't a completely tight game in the last minute. But I mean, it's this is how the Nuggets perform. This is when you're going to see the Nuggets perform. And I'm interested to see how they come out in game four.
Well, you present an interesting question. So you guys both just kind of trashed LeBron and Rondo, who also were pretty much essential to getting them back in this
game. Yeah, they were the reason.
Yeah. I mean, they were the reason they were out of it, but they also got them back into it. And so, I mean, Rondo had those, like, he had that play where Jamal Murray was coming down in transition at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he, like, jumped out to the three-point line just to matador Murray by. It's like really a classic Rondo play circa 2013, which is absolutely atrocious. LeBron, he got dusted by Jeremy Grant off the dribble multiple times in this game, which is crazy. But then their defensive pressure and that zone execution in the fourth quarter was also phenomenal and got them back into this game. So do you take positive notes from those moments?
No.
And, you know, like putting it forward towards next game? Okay, how about this then, Dave? Does the zone seem like something that could be a huge part of the series moving forward, considering it seemed to take Jokic out of his game?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, the Lakers got the benefit of a good whistle, too. Let's not ignore that. Mm-hmm. You know, they were jumping passing lanes, and they were being very aggressive. And, you know, it's one of these things. Like, Rondo has been in the league for a long time. He knows he can get handsy down the stretch, especially if your team is losing. And the refs are going to kind of let you play your way back into it. And so he took advantage of that, and that helped spur that run, which the Nuggets finally answered for when they stopped expecting whistles. And so I just think that, you know, these are two teams that are going to adjust pretty quickly. Frank Vogel is not going to just say, okay, come out with that same effort in game four. Let's just do the same thing all over. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, I expect the Lakers come out early looking to throw the first punch and probably looking a lot like they looked during that run where the defensive pressure is cranked up a notch, and maybe even more early Rondo.
And the Nuggets, outside of Murray, don't have incredible ball handling on this team, right? Like, right, they rely playmaking-wise on Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Like, the fact of the matter is the Lakers, that's one of their strengths is ball pressure. Like, even without Avery Bradley, the Caruso and Rondo, when they get to it, and even KCP, not Danny Green so much anymore, but when they get to it and they get focused, they provide a nice amount of ball pressure and force guys all season into the lane against their trees. And we just haven't really seen that in the last basically game and a half. I think you'll see a lot more of that going forward.
Yeah, the Nuggets got him with the driving kick game, right? And then the ball just starts popping around the outside, and all of a sudden the Lakers are, you know, you miss a half a rotation or you're a couple seconds late, and they're gunning. I mean, they didn't even take that many threes, but they shot the ball so well during the competitive part of this game that it didn't really matter.
Yeah, and by the way, the Lakers, they went 6-for-26 from three-point line. You cannot be single digits and 3 points made. You can't be under 30 in three-point attempts if you want to win, especially against this team. So that's a huge part of it. And I love these games where Jamal Murray is the one with double-digit assists. That tells me that they are getting driving kicks to create good three-point looks. And we saw in this game, I mean, Jeremy Grant, he only went 2-for-5, but it just felt like he had a tremendous offensive game. He got to the line 12 times in this game. He was attacking off the dribble, getting through traffic, beating LeBron out of the triple threat multiple times, taking on double teams in the post and somehow slipping at the cutters. This was probably the best offensive performance of his career.
Yeah, I thought he earned some money tonight.
Yeah, the defense was pretty good too. You know, and it's funny because, you know, this guy, like, as far as a position goes, he's been shoehorned into a lot of things. And I think that the Nuggets have kind of stumbled onto what he actually is. Like, this guy is a wing, and he's a two-way wing. I mean, he can take those shots when they're open. The fact that he can attack a closeout the way that he can. And now, this isn't what we see from him often. He's usually a lot more passive, but clearly they understand that they've got a chance here if he's pressuring the defense. I mean, those 12 free throws are not an accident. I feel like that's probably by design.
He was attacking from the Nuggets. Man. He was attacking and earning those earning the contact, earning the calls. When the Lakers had narrowed the lead to about 5 to start the second half, it was Jeremy Grant that basically put the Nuggets back into the driver's seat, right? Like, attacking on the break, he attacked AD and LeBron and finished fearlessly. I love his fearlessness on taking the threes, particularly the corner threes. He takes that with the utmost confidence. He just looks incredible. And tonight he was amazing. And again, like, these are the things that you have to have happen for you when you're the underdog. Your bench guys Your non-stars have to play outside of themselves. And Jeremy Grant did that tonight.
Yeah, huge credit to Grant, because 2 years ago, he would have fouled out on charges alone if he tried that.
Yeah, so. two years ago, he wouldn't have got the ball because he was in OKC.
Andrew, would he have been able to attack, not even a closeout, just attack an isolation defender and be able to get to the rim?
I mean, he fell over trying to do that. I mean, I watched him do it many, many times, like literally fell over in the paint trying to do stuff like that. I mean, it is astonishing the way that he's developed over the past couple years. I mean, he's playing backup center for the Thunder 2 years ago. And that's what his position was.
Yeah. And again, like now he's actually playing the position he should be playing. And we're seeing like the best version of Jeremy Grant for sure. I mean, it, you know, that typically happens with young players. But pretty wild that probably his best game this season happened in the Western Conference Finals Game 3. It's kind of nuts.
Okay, so what is Paul Millsap's future in this series? Because this was a struggle. I feel like the later the game goes, the more washed he looks. He's in there because they need him, I think mostly defensively, frankly. They need some power underneath. But they did a pretty good job of finding ways to keep Jokic in position or get Grant into position where they could provide rim protection. So it seems like Millsap's role is mostly to body up, I guess, on guys like AD further from the hoop and just try to keep guys from the rim. But he seems to be kind of a negative offensively.
Good
most of the
God.
Time. So Waz, do
I mean, a negative
okay,
is
I'll
being
give it
nice.
To Dave if you're that offended.
Like,
yeah. Okay, so he's atrocious. Monty Morris is putting so much positive ball energy on offense. Do you just keep going smaller and get Morris more minutes?
No.
I don't think you can
no.
do it.
Hell
I don't
no.
think you can do it.
They're getting abused yeah. in those minutes, man. You saw, okay, so that second quarter.
Millsap plus 11 tonight, by the way.
That second quarter when they went 17-2 against the Lakers, that was all with Keith playing the five. Like, first of all, theoretically, right, he's not obviously not protecting the paint. That's not going to, and you know, you might assume like, well, it's Mason Plumlee. It's not like he's some post threat, blah, 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 blah. But that's not how they attack it. They attack it vertically on pick and rolls and alley-oops, right? And they have to respect that because Mason Plumlee can jump higher than Markieff Morris, is taller than him. It's just like he's going to beat him at the rim, right, at the point of contact. And then theoretically, Markieff Morris is supposed to be spacing for you on the other end of the court. And Denver doesn't respect him as far as his three-point making ability. So he's not spacing for you because the defense is not respecting him. And then on the other end, he's getting killed in that matchup defensively. And so I think that's a zero. And it's been like that for three consecutive games against Denver. They've destroyed that, you know, that unit that was effective against the Rockets, which present, like, it's just a different opponent who presents different problems. It's you know, I understand why that was effective against Houston, but Denver is not Houston. You can't trot that lineup out anymore. And I think Vogel learned a lesson because they got their tails whipped in the second quarter. He didn't come back to it in the second half. He was like, nah, he ain't gonna do that. Although, out of the first timeout after Denver goes on an insane offensive run, he came back with the unit, only switching in Danny yep. Green for Rondo. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's coaching like a guy with a 2-0 lead.
By the way, that let them keep Jokic on the bench.
Right. Of course.
You didn't put any pressure on him.
He could be fresh.
You know, it was an easy adjustment to make, was to just force them to put Jokic back in the game. Not that, you know, you want them to have their best player, but you want him tired at the end of the game. And
but then,
Mike Malone
and also,
sees these guys playing well. He's going to let them cook.
Also, Dave, conversely, when Dwight is in there with that unit, not only is he a deterrent at the basket, he spaces vertically, right?
Like, that's right.
His
biggest contribution in the series has been
alley-oop. The defenders have to suck in to stop the alley-oop possibility from Dwight because he has been catching mm-hmm. and finishing alley-oops against them and basically all season. So it makes, like, the theory of this Morris lineup just makes no sense against this Denver unit.
Yeah, what Dwight's been able to do to their offensive geometry from the dunker spot, it has been overlooked for some reason because people are so obsessed with, I don't know, whatever the hell it is you call what he's trying to do to Jokic, who is completely unbothered by every single antic.
Yeah, he needs to just come out.
Dwight has been great when he's just out there playing basketball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just don't understand why they're not going to it more. I mean, he's fouling like crazy. But with that being said, he's contributing. I mean, maybe he can only get to 20 minutes a game because of the fouls. I mean, he had 4 fouls in this game. I think he had 5 in game 2. But that 20 minutes is going to be pretty useful for your team. He was -1 in this game, but he was like +24 in the first 2 games. So they were winning those minutes with him. And I just think, you know, like JaVale probably shouldn't see a competitive minute again in this series. Like, it's 2-1. Like, you guys want to put this away. Don't play JaVale. But they need to find a way to play Dwight more. And maybe you just say, listen, chill out, try not to foul out, because we want to play you like 25 minutes.
You got to up LeBron and AD's minutes. That's what it comes down to. AD played 43 minutes tonight. LeBron only played 36. That's basically what it boils down to. Like, it's got to be Dwight and AD as the big man rotational minutes, the 5 rotational minutes. And maybe, I guess you could squeeze that Morris group in there for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but not much. Because JaVale is just not long for this series. And to be honest, he hasn't been long for the entire playoffs.
Hey, I'm Taz Malice of No Dunks on The Athletic. Do you want to walk into a room with your chest puffed out, your neck long, and your shoulders broad? Of course you do. For me, getting clothes that fit properly can give me the confidence I need to do just that. Indochino hooked me up with the gear that fits perfectly. I dreaded getting dressed for my Zoom meetings, but now I change for each one with a big smile on my face. I did a virtual fitting on Indochino's slick website for them to get my measurements. I didn't have to talk to a single human. There are so many options. Here are a few I chose. A long shirt, because I tuck it in. I got a No Dunks monogram, and I decided against the shirt pocket. I sincerely did not think that custom fit clothing was this affordable, and all customizations are included in the cost. The website keeps your measurements on file so you never have to re-enter them. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $2.99 with all customizations included. Indochino is a no-brainer if you're getting married. Visit one of the Indochino showrooms across North America. Or book a virtual appointment like I did and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $3.99 or more when you enter code TASS. Not ass, TASS, T-A-S, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code TASS.
Talking about erectile dysfunction is just not easy. Usually, we just brush it off or we blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it, or Jamal Murray just hit a 3 in my face. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it, because with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, and it's safe, and it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will just ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process, it's straightforward, it's simple, and again, it is discreet. So getting started, it's simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/ding and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. So complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/ding today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That is GetRoman.com/ding. GetRoman.com/ding. Let's get to the news. First off, Adam Silver is acknowledging that next season is unlikely to start until 2021, looking at possibly late January. If you want to know how that's possible, you can go to The Athletic, where John Krasinski and I did a whole feature on Saliva Direct, which is the COVID test that the NBA funded through Yale. And that story will explain how that actually is possible. The G League is mulling a fall tournament that would feature the select team, which features future superstars like Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, and a bunch of other guys that are overhyped. So definitely keep an eye out for that. But Shams says that could be coming soon. JJ Redick is aiming to play 4 more years, which should put him into his early 60s. But let's talk about the big news of the day, which is Billy Donovan getting hired by the Bulls. So Waz, since you're the one that broke the news in the first place, we'll start with you. What do you think of Billy Donovan replacing the most popular coach in the NBA?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to Herb Lawrence. He's an executive producer at the Score 670 out in Chicago. They're all Chicago sports. And he went out and tweeted and was like, listen, they just reported this, but because I listened to the Daily Ding, Big Waz had this weeks ago and Ooh, actually gave me the credit. So shouts to Herb Lawrence for that. What do I think about the news? I think, look, if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, the thing about Billy Donovan is this season was actually the first year he actually got to be a head coach in the NBA. Because he came in 2016 with the, you know, the last KD Russ team, very successful. But we know what was happening on that team. They were doing what Russ and KD wanted to do. Russ, of course, the king of the prairie, was essentially, he monopolized everything, the offense in OKC. And that's what they did after KD left. And this season was the first time Billy Donovan got to be a conventional NBA coach, and you can only say that they overachieved. There's no two ways about it. He did a great coaching job this season. That being said, I don't think you could have watched the first round series against the Rockets and thought Billy Donovan was some tactical, amazing person. I thought he was very, I don't know, vanilla and obvious in the way he went about doing his business, but you know. I thought he did a great job during the regular season. This is a young team trying to get from A to B, and he probably is an A to B coach. He might not be that B to C guy like, say, a Nick Nurse, but I think he is an A to B coach. I think, of course, he's an upgrade from Jim Boylan. So if you're a Chicago fan, you should be cautiously optimistic.
Okay, but he's also not going to have Chris Paul next year. He's not going to have Dennis Schroeder. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to a completely different situation as far as, like, having adult guards. And Zach LaVine is a very good player, but the decision-making isn't that of Chris Paul. So, you know, I think that it's likely that that team's still going to be bad. Like, there were coaching issues, certainly, but it wasn't just coaching. There's some roster construction stuff happening there as well. So let's see how they fill that staff out. Clearly, it's a sort of a development year for them. They just don't have the talent to expect to really compete. Maybe they feel like they can sneak into the playoffs, but they shouldn't.
Yeah. Billy's a solid coach. I don't think that there's any reason to be exuberant about this hire for the Bulls, but I think it's a step in the right direction as far as, like, the Bulls with their management, with their coaching. They're just stepping into just being a normal NBA team now. Like, they're not going to be a laughingstock anymore, which I think is a step in the right direction. And also, we have to know that, like, this is not this Bulls management's team. This is not their roster. And so, like, what do they think about the roster? Exactly. What do they think about building this team? Do they like the young guys? Do they like any of these older players? Like what are they going to do? Because they're still, like, all the work is still to be done. And I think that it's a good thing that they have a coach that they feel like they can align with, because Billy is certainly that. Like, Billy and Sam Presti were aligned, and you definitely want to have that. And the Bulls haven't had that for I don't know how long. And so it's just a good step in the right direction in that way.
I don't think Arturis or Billy are going to challenge anybody in any fist fights. And that's a huge improvement for the Bulls from the coach and their front office. So congratulations on having adults in the room.
Yeah, I don't want to challenge Arturis to a fist fight any day now. That guy's got a head made of steel, for God's sake. So it's funny because Chicago's in this weird spot where they have the fourth pick in the draft and there's no player that makes clear sense. There is Denny Avdija sitting right there who, you know, Arturis has brought over so many great players in the EuroLeague. So we'll see if that's the guy they go with. But he might be a little redundant to Markkanen. So there could be a lot of shakeups happening in Chicago in the near future. But at least they have a coach that seems to have a sense of purpose to what he's doing that will not make the players go crazy. All right, so game four of the Eastern Conference Finals is tonight. The Heat are up 2-1. The Celtics won the last game when Gordon Hayward returned. Dave, what are you looking for in this one?
I mean, I think I want to see the same stuff from Boston, and clearly Miami is going to have to improve, keep Boston from getting to the basket. Man, 60 paint points, just unacceptable. But I expect another big performance from Gordon Hayward. I think that Boston probably winds up taking this one, and then we wind up with a best of three to close it out.
Look, I picked Boston to win this series 4 to 5 years ago. I told the world that Gordon Hayward was a better player than Kyrie Irving. I've been on the Gordon Hayward train for a very, very long time now. He came back and actually provided some great minutes, a stabilizing force, dissecting the defense with his playmaking. I think Boston's going to win this game and ultimately end up winning this series because I just think they're the more talented team. And if they play up to their capabilities with the level of effort and force that we've watched them exhibit throughout the entire playoffs, they're going to get it done. Boston's going to win game four.
So, Andrew, do I still get to keep doing my job for three more weeks?
Yeah, I tend to agree that Boston will win. I think the break for Kemba will be good. And I expect some big things out of Kemba Walker in game four.
That's interesting. Everyone talks about how Hayward's going to benefit from this break. But Kemba, that's an interesting one. We haven't seen Kemba pull up into a three comfortably in about a week and a half now. So if that starts happening, yeah, the Celtics could run away with the series. But Miami, they're gonna have something to clap back with, and I cannot wait to see what it is. So that's going to do it for today's show. So don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We still have your favorite shows like the Athletic NBA Show, No Dunks, Tampering, House of Strauss. We had, as you saw in the broadcast the other night, my show with Grant and Taco, the Grant and Taco Show, which we'll be bringing back in the future, hopefully. So we have over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. So don't forget to follow on the app to get notifications for new episodes and to utilize that podcast episode comment section so you can talk about how much you loved the four-man crew that we rolled with tonight, about how ugly my segues were, whatever it is, I want to hear about it over in the comments section. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck because you can get all of our podcasts without those ads, plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price. It's $1 right now. $1 for the biggest, baddest sports news website in the land. And you get that subscription today by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. You never know when these promos end, so you better get there soon. Thank you for waking up with us, as always. All three of you at the same time now. Let's get out of here.
Ding, ding, ding-a-lings. Ding.